Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
One, two, three.
And welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here in Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment. That's what we're going to do, right, Frank? All right, we got a great show. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. We are going to be talking in the first part of the show about bionics. They're back. I mean, in research, the big time. So we're going to talk about bionic humans are now becoming a reality. And we do have a quack report and other things, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. Are you hitting the knees? Are you seeking the Lord's face? Are you minding the time? Because it grows short. I hope you are. Today's devotional puts us in John 14, where it says, "He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is he that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." Absolutely great stuff. And also Proverbs 3 goes on to say, "My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments, for life, length of days and long life and peace shall be added to you." Absolutely good blessings. God can't lie, so it's a done deal. So seek the Lord's face and mind the time, because he is the way. And without further ado, hey, Frank, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, here we are in New Zealand, first up in the Quacker. They say a bionic pacemaker is capable of reversing heart failure. It's in human trials right now. So we may be on the medical side of turning back time, reversing heart rhythm defects and cardiac events and giving people a second chance. I'm all for that. Potentially game-changing bionic pacemaker, they say, is capable of restoring the human heart's natural irregular beat, is set to undergo trials involving heart patients in New Zealand. Well, You know, that's interesting because in that research they were saying that your heart has its own little rhythm. It's very well connected to your breathing, your respiratory system. So obviously if you're exercising and exerting, the heart rate's different than if you were just sipping tea. So we're going to talk about more about bionics in the first part of the show. Moving along in the Quack report. Oh, here's a report on cancer patients who recovered, went into remission, but then got the COVID vaccine, see a return of their cancer. This is all across the web. Apparently, reports are emerging that people who got fully vaccinated with the COVID-19 are either sick or they have a new cancer that suddenly is out of control. They're not in remission, and the cancer is a problem. So, last but not least in the Quack report, let's see. Vaccine researcher admits that spike proteins are dangerous toxins. This is a researcher that admitted that our COVID-19 vaccines are actually toxic. Quote, we thought the spike proteins were a great way to target an antigen, and we never knew that spike protein itself was a toxin and was a pathogenic protein. So by vaccinating people, we are inadvertently inoculating them with a toxin. That's by Brian Brittle, a viral immunologist and a vaccine researcher and an associate professor at University of Guelph, Ontario. So apparently these coronavirus spike proteins, which is present in your mRNA vaccine, very toxic, and it enters your blood system. And this could explain why a lot of people are having adverse events from this this serum. Now, the thing that really kills me, Frank, is these people in science assumed this serum stays in the shoulder muscle and doesn't go into the blood system. What idiots! According to Brian, he goes on to say, we have known for a long time that the spike protein is a pathogenic protein, and it is a toxin, and it can cause damage to our body if it gets into circulation. But they assumed it would stay in your shoulder muscle. What? They go on to say the spike protein is what allows the virus to infect the human. So the manufacturers of the vaccine chose to target the protein, making cells of the vaccinated person a manufacturing hub for the COVID virus. In theory, it would evoke an immune response to prevent it from infecting your cells. They never proved the theory. So lab animals who have been injected with the spike proteins into the bloodstream were shown to develop cardiovascular problems and brain damage. So he claims that the spike proteins can attack receptors on blood platelets and the cells that are in line with the blood vessels that can cause clumping and clotting. So a lot of senior researchers like Stephanie Sinoff from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology claim that there was some information leaked from Pfizer in their study from Japan. And it was very clear in the documents they got, it was clear that the COVID vaccine has a direct effect on the blood system, causing systemic damage such as cardiovascular and cognitive problems. They knew that. Mm-hmm. There's a special place for these folks, Frank. I volunteer to pull the lever. Well, let's get to something interesting like bionics. We'll be right back, and that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Frank says he thinks they know exactly what they're doing. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Dog and pony show. That's what we have in media. But let's get to this bionic thing. You know, you remember, Frank, in 2018, not so long ago, I reported on the rapid development of bionic body parts being developed within medical science. So If you have no idea what bionics are, I want you to think of Lee Majors, the actor, in the $6 Million Man TV series of 1974. So body parts are now available in bionic form, which seem to simulate real body parts such as arms, legs, and eyes. Now, according to the Federation of American Societies for Experimental Biology, there was a symposium that was called the 6 Billion Human. Yeah, and they spelled human H-U-M-A-N. Isn't that cute? Yeah. And so they had a symposium, and that's what they called it. And it was part of their scientific program. So what is the scientific definition of bionics? Well, according to the Federation of American Societies for Experimental Biology, they say, quote, bionics merge biology with electronics, and it means replacing or enhancing a body structure or a physiological process with electronic and mechanical components. All right, so translation. Bionics do not simply replace missing body parts like traditional prosthetics. The bionic replacement is an implant that is supposed to function or mimic the original part, the missing part, but with more enhanced features like superhuman strength or faster reflexes. So this requires an interface between the human body and the electronics. And science has this agenda to make most human organs in a bionic form. They've made bionic ears, too, Frank. Yeah. All right, so here's a quote, another quote. This is Dr. William Karelis, Rutgers University. He says, "We have been working on creating the first multi-finger prosthetic that combines the musculoskeletal signaling with advanced human-to-machine communication, a.k.a. bionic." So science is rapidly growing in this sector of medical devices, and they actually refer to the replacement body parts as being adopted by the recipient. So medical science plans to use bionic devices for patients with strokes, arthritis, Parkinson's, and other neuromuscular type of diseases. And there's this shift in the development of new surgeries and these computerized devices. It's a shift for sure. So what about these superhumans? I mean, if you've ever watched some sci-fi TV or in the movies, your mind's going there. Are they making superhumans? Well, in 2004, the University of California, there was some work by a Dr. Hamamoun Casaroni. I guess I pronounced that right, Casaroni. He has caught the eye of a lot of investors, by the way, with his research. He has developed wearable robotic systems that offer the wearer super strength. So, for instance, a device allows a male or female to carry 200 pounds as if it were 10 pounds. And the developmental, this is a developmental exoskeletal system, a product called Blex. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's an interesting name for it, Blex. Okay. So we know that they have these systems now, and where this technology is going. Well, they want to build, get this, Frank, a virtual soldier. They've been working on that. There's actually a facility that is working on this, and it's called Virtual Soldier Research Lab, and they're working with the U.S. military. Did you know that, Frank? You did know that? You did know that. Okay. Well, it's they're working with the U.S. military, TACOM, Department of the Army, and now TACOM designs tractor vehicles for the military, but now they seem to want to design bionic warriors equipped with bionic eyes. So the goal of the industry making bionic limbs is to be able to connect the limbs to the human brain for things, you know, quadriplegics and other amputees to be able to use this new technology to control their artificial limbs. And bionics is also where the robot industry is headed. So in the future, it may become impossible at some point to tell the difference between a human and a superhuman. Think about that. But they got bioethics issues, of course. So the bionic industry has gone ahead and manufactured a whole bionic human. So the bionic version of a human, man, has a lot of internal organs, and they're all bionic. And these organs are also being designed to be used as transplant options for humans. There already is a bionic spleen, pancreas, and set of lungs. And currently, science reports it has successfully built over 50% of the human body with this type of technology. And they're working on getting multiple artificial organs to work together. So there is this new era within science grappling with ethics of bionics, now called bioethics. Here's a quote from Rich Walker, director of Touch Bionics, who says, "The question is, how much of a human being can be replaced and still be considered human?" Well, good question. And, you know, people have questions, you know, but they want to make all this work. So on one question, science is trying to figure out is, will the implanted technology interfere with how the person relates to other people? So, and I'm sure the industry is going to evolve, and there will be some questions, you know, maybe questions we never thought about asking. Let me give you an example. Does a bionic man or robot have human rights? Can a bionic man or robot become president? How about, can a bionic man that is half human marry a robot? Mm-hmm. Well, I know it sounds stupid and crazy. It really is kind of out there, but this whole subject can get a bit ridiculous. And I'm all for amputees and paralyzed folks feeling more whole and regaining lost functions, but I think there should be a cutoff. And this is where the technology that's offering superhuman capabilities has kind of gone astray, such as, you know, people with faster brain thinking functions, bionic eyes that can see further or even through a barrier, who knows. So let's face it, the average person, if they knew someone had a bionic hand, well, think about it, Frank, if you knew somebody had a bionic hand, would you shake their hand? Would you be thinking to yourself, is he going to crush my hand if I shake that hand? You wouldn't be worried about that. Okay, he wouldn't be worried about that. Well, okay, so superhuman strength, you know, in bionics could, what'd you say? I won't shake his hand. Well, Frank's not worried because he's not going to shake his hand. Okay. Well, make no mistake, the bionics area wants to eliminate all disabilities, which, you know, is very, you know, noble, right? But at what price? So designing products that moves and operates like a human body, well, it's kind of a challenge. It is. What do you say, unless he's holding a gun in his hand? Oh, okay. Well, let's look at bionic eyes. This is research at the University of Minnesota. Very challenging to make a bionic eyeball. They were trying to get things to work out, and so they went to the 3D printer to print the curved surface of the eye. But then they were having trouble converting light into electricity just to get power to the eye. And the bionic industry, you know, prefers 3 to 4 and 4D, you know, 3D and 4D printing. That's what they want. They want 3D and 4D printing because it's faster, it's cheaper. It can simulate lifelike organs really well, so they like the 3 and 4D printing. So bionic 3D skin that feels real to the touch and offers a perfect temperature has already been developed. Well, let me give you a little body part history now. It's reported that the ancient Egyptians were the first to make prosthetics. So a 3,000-year-old mummy had a fake toe made out of wood and attached it with a leather strap to his foot. Well, you know, more functional and mechanical limbs were created later on in the 16th century. And what about George Washington with, you know, his dental issue, wooden teeth? I guess you could call that a prosthetic of certain elk. Yep. But there are some problems that they're trying to work out. There's some bugs in the works. The biggest challenge with all of this artificial technology attached to the human body, they're having to get around the built-in defenses of your immune system. So the immune system sees bionics, if they're implanted, as a foreign object, and inflammation can occur. So artificial pancreases, they didn't work out so well, and they have to go back to the drawing board. Testing it in animals, it was a problem. They had a severe immune system reaction, and they had adhesions formed, creating scar tissue that essentially petrified. So the other problem is the bionics with blood. Blood tends to clot around them a lot. And there's a huge dilemma with bionic lungs as well. Bionic lungs, Frank. Well, the cost of being superhuman, let's see, how much is it going to cost to be bionic man? Well, the bionics do cost a lot of money because of all the research, and the market for them is kind of limited right now, but, you know, later, you know, they'll probably be more reasonable. But a bionic robot upper limb, arm, let's say, $20,000 to $120,000, roughly, I guess, depending on your amenities that you have plugged into it, maybe? I don't know. Private insurance seems to pay 50% of this stuff. Now, however, some insurance companies, though, are looking at the long-term care of amputees who do use bionic devices to decrease the cost, because people that have these limbs, I guess they're more comfortable, they're easier to operate, they feel like they're normal limb, if you will, as normal as you can get. So they're more active as patients, and there's less obesity, heart disease, arthritis, joint pain, so forth. So therefore, some insurance companies are covering 80% of the cost of these limbs. And as you know, the research continues, the costs will come down, and most likely this area is going to explode with lots of investors. However, we're about 11 years away from that kind of thing. You know, still, they're still working out details. And we've been told that the scientists in this area are enthusiastic, and they plan to have bionics going beyond helping the stroke patients or even patients with bone diseases. So they got big plans for the bionic area. So if you can imagine it, I guess they're going to create it. So mankind seems to be following the imaginations of their heart, and we really need to use wisdom, and we have to guard against new inventions that could be used for good and for evil, so we have to be aware of that. So I have questions regarding a lot of this new area of medicine and how we can guard against a lot of corruption there. What'd you say, Frank? You said what? And what did the angry mob to the doctor say to Frankenstein? Yes, I know, Frankenstein. Well, here's some questions that've been rolling around in my noggin up here. Could bionics be crafted to offer an unfair advantage instead of just being the gap of a lost function? You know, could bionics lend itself to become a superhero obsession for some people? Could a black market for unauthorized bionics develop, offering more than the standard human capability? And can the bionics be hacked and someone could control another person's movements? interesting. So we live in interesting times, and we're witnessing a faster pace at technology, and perhaps only these robots can keep up with it, because some argue that humans are already on the road of becoming a slave to technology. What'd you say, Frank? Days of Noah, yeah, absolutely. Well, we want to take care of our original equipment, that's what I say. Any kind of implant is going to cause a lot of immune system reactions and rejection. Implants require patients really to take drugs to prevent that rejection. And aside from trauma and birth defects, I think that it's much easier to protect your original equipment as much as possible. So don't neglect your lifestyle and doing your cleansing of your organ systems on a semi-annual basis as maintenance. This also, you know, lends itself to avoid as many prescription medications as possible down the road. And no one wants to be a hostage to drugs. So anti-rejection medicines can cost about it's $100,000 a year right now. But everything's going up. And, you know, if that's the case, if bionics will require you to take anti-rejection drugs, well, then bionics is going to probably be a rich man's option for sure. But call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have an organic product line. They have herb formulas for immune boosting, organ cleansing, metabolic strengthening and support. These are all professional certified organic grade. You can give them a call and get their free catalog. The number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. Visit them online at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. And right now they're having a Valentine's Day sale, so you can save 20% on orders of $50 or more. The sale runs through the 16th of February, and use coupon code SWEET22. Details are online, or give them a call at 866-229-3663, but restrictions apply, so try to take advantage of that. I can see by the clock we got to take a break, but more on the other side. Be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength.
Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Apothecary Herbs announces a brand new formula to help balance blood pressure from head to foot, strengthen your heart muscle, and reduce cholesterol. Now you have a professional strength alternative that works all without fear or worry of serious side effects. Empower yourself. Become independent from the expensive drugs. Call Apothecary Herbs and ask for heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com. Heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula is just $24.95 and comes with a money-back guarantee. So get a pencil and write this down. Apothecary Herbs, toll-free, 866-229-3663, or on the web at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Thanks, Frank. Okay, we're going to be talking about some population belief with regard to prescribed medicines. You know, people have been surveyed and asked questions and see what people are thinking, because a lot of modern medicine has been taking notes and, you know, has been listening to what people are saying. And they're trying out new therapies that they say they hope to prevent diseases with. Therefore, scientific medicine has invested in what they are calling now more preventative therapies, which include, you know, drugs and surgery. That's what they call preventative therapy. So this technique has been rolled out in most countries, and you may have seen a lot of advertising and reports where they are performing mastectomies now as a prevention for breast cancer on women, or they're prescribing heart medicines to those who don't yet have heart disease but later may have it. So you may wonder how successful medicine has been at selling this approach to health. Well, the less educated will be more influenced by this kind of marketing. There is a big risk factor. A lot of computer programs are now being used to determine an individual's level of risk to a future disease. An example is a computer that indicates risk of heart disease, and physicians are now permitted to prescribe heart drugs as a prevention prior to the condition being even evident. And it has always been illegal for a doctor to prescribe medication to a patient who did not have an existing condition yet, and it warranted no drug therapy. But today, physicians are given extreme leeway with drug therapy, and medicine is defining drug treatment. It's for treatment of a disease and not for an illness that may not be evident. That's the medical definition always of a disease. The drug treatment is for a disease, not for an illness that is not evident. But they're bending the rules, and so we can't help but think about, you know, your vaccines. Also, taking those into the same category, they're saying they're trying to prevent future disease, in which, you know, vaccines really have no peer review, no double-blind studies that prove they're effective in preventing disease at all. Here is a quote from the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health, April 2011. They said the treatment of chronic illness commonly includes the long-term use of pharmacotherapies. Well, drug therapy. Long-term use of drugs. While there are some ethical issues, of course, the National Center for Biotechnology is saying there are profound ethical issues with regard to prescribing and using drugs before someone's ill. They mention external influences that are driving this area, such as the political community, the special interests, cultural beliefs, greed. You know, you can name it. They also discuss how important it is to have relevant and true research as a foundation for ethical treatments. The National Center for Biotechnology said this in April 2016. The virtue of case studies is the context which is critical to answer the empirical question that ethical issues are relying on. Well, what is that socialized medicine they're trying to get everybody to accept? A lot of countries have accepted socialized healthcare systems where the drug treatments are supposedly free or paid for by everyone. The public is not embracing drugs to prevent the computer-predicted illness, though. So they're not buying that just yet. For instance, in the UK, women are not going to take toxic drugs to prevent breast cancer they don't have. They just said, no, not doing it. In December 2018, the Cancer Research Center at the University of Leeds in the UK published a study, and it landed in the Journal of Clinical Breast Cancer. They said only one-fifth of healthy women would even take a drug treatment therapy to prevent the likelihood of future breast cancer. One-fifth. But in reality, only 15% actually took the treatment. Now, approximately 72% of women said they would not take such a drug for a disease they didn't have yet, and they were concerned about the long-term use of these drugs, and 57% said the drug side effects were also worrisome. They asked over 400 healthy women who medicine felt were at a high risk of breast cancer to participate in this drug prevention treatment, but most of them said no, not going to do it. The women were surveyed, and this is what they said. 29% said doctors prescribed too many drugs. 35% said doctors don't spend enough time with their patients to be able to prescribe fewer drugs. And 24% said they had experienced bad reactions to medicines. 24% felt long-term drug therapy is not good for people. 23% said they had sensitivities to medicines. 17% said natural therapies were safer than drugs. Oh, I bet you that didn't go down very well. What are you saying, Frank? What is the actual breast cancer chances? Like, how many women actually get breast cancer per 100? I'd love to see that letter. Yeah, well, you have to remember the tests that they give women, too. There's a 20% error margin built into them, so not everybody does have cancer, even if they're told they are. That's where second and third opinions come in. Always double check. Now, here's a quote from Dr. Samuel Smith, University of Leeds, UK, December 2018, who said, "Women in our study were rightfully considering the potential harms and benefits of using preventative drug therapy, and some belief about the use of drugs were very negative." End of quote. Well, they were being discerning, Doc. You know, it's that old thing, it ain't broke, don't fix it thing. See, now this research out of the UK highlights that the public perceive drugs as a risk and are now, you know, asking, do they want to accept the risk? Dr. Smith comments in the article that modern medicine must do more to train healthcare professionals to So they can, you know, counter the public's fear and concerns, you know, negate those troubling thoughts. And especially for non-existent diseases and the use of preventative type therapy. So, you know, you gotta have a comeback is what he's saying to the doctors when patients are, you know, questioning or challenging this whole mindset. I don't have a disease yet. What do you mean you want to treat something I don't have? Well, the internet is a problem for them because people can get a lot of information there. I always tell people, take the name of the drug, type the name in your search engine, then afterwards, side effect. And then you get these links pop up. And I like to look for WebMD because they list common and rare side effects of the drug. So you can get a better picture of what the risks are. I just talked to somebody today, Frank, who had all these problems, and in the course of the conversation, they mentioned they're on this injectable drug for bone health. So I said, did you ever take that drug and type it in your search engine? No. So I said, well, I got a minute. Let me just type it in. And so I type it in, and her side effects she's complaining about is what the drug is producing. The side effects, she's getting a drug-induced issue. And so if you don't want to suffer like that, then I guess it's time to make some changes. Let's go back in time. Here is a December 15th, Cancer Research Center in the UK, along with researchers from Queen Mary University in London. They did a study. And in the study, it was published in the Annals of Oncology. It involved 21,000 women of all ages who were said to have a high risk of developing breast cancer but didn't have breast cancer yet. So the women were offered a 5-year course of drug treatment as a prevention. Only 16% agreed to the treatment, and most of them only took the drug for 1 year. Dr. Samuel Smith was part of this research as well, and it seems that not been able to change the opinion of women to take a toxic drug in hopes of preventing a disease they don't yet have. I know. Try to wrap your brain around that thinking, but this is the age in which you live where you get people that are confused. You know, right is wrong, black is white, sweet is sour. You know what I mean? Here's a quote from Dr. Samuel Smith. He says, our research reveals that only a small proportion of the eligible females in our study made the decision to have the preventative medication. It is critical to find out why so many chose not to have the drug or stop taking them before completing the course. Well, risks. They saw the drug as a risk, doc, for something they didn't have yet. So in both studies, you know, the researchers were using radiation mammograms to check the progress of the women on the treatment. Radiation is known to give you breast cancer. You get mammograms for 10 years, guess what you're going to have? Well, let's look at harnessing the power of this big data, because that's what they're doing. So data collection is now being harnessed in power over their targets. So the target can be townships trying to reduce electricity use on their streetlights, or the medical establishment and drug companies trying to increase their profits. So predicting what goes on in your healthcare and how or who are at high risk patient loads can be kind of a gold mine for the healthcare establishment. Artificial intelligence is changing our medical establishment. And as the healthcare system becomes even more systemized, it will seem to be this highly functioning, streamlined mechanism in tracking treatments, medications, costs, risks, outcomes that benefit society and investor profits, but don't really look at, is it right for you? So the system is being transformed to be run by computers that are making the diagnoses and reaching conclusions about patient care. So the healthcare system will run like, I don't know, Amazon. Your personalized healthcare treatment is going to be kind of rare. It may melt away over time, and healthcare professionals look at computers to know what to do. So, like, you know, cashiers can't make change anymore. They look at the what their cash register says to give back. So the doctor will be essentially, sorry to say, a hard drive. You know, Dr. Kiosk, please report to the ICU as he rolls down the corridor. You know? Well, you have to make fun of this stuff because it's insane. They've gone insane. Here is Eric Topol, a medical doctor at Squibb, National Science Institute, who says, computing capabilities can transcend what a human being could ever do in a